We have Commissioner Weems in the studio with us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Cordy. Cory, I brought reinforcements this morning.
You got reinforcements there. So if you run out of things to say, we've got some stuff to talk about. We're going to highlight the extension, one of the specific programs with extension here in just a bit, but we'll go over the meeting. Really, it was kind of run-of-the-mill, no real big weighty business that you dealt with, just kind of stamp up approval on most things. I'll bring up a couple of things here you might want to mention. People might be interested in as you operated as the Board of Equalization, you authorized Julie Stenger, Lincoln County Assessor, to sign discovery documents on behalf of the Lincoln County Board of Equalization in a couple of cases pending before the Nebraska Tax Equalization and Review Commission. Could you enlighten us a little bit about what that's about?
Sure. That's basically handing off the ball to the assessor to serve on behalf of the Board of Equalization as far as providing any information or testimony that the TURC board may require on those applications for protest by the property owner. And that's essentially what's going on there, Cory. Rather than us as commissioners go down and put our Board of Equalization caps collectively on and speak to those questions, we simply have to formally authorize Julie Stenger, the assessor, to do so on our behalf. So that's what's going on there.
TURC board, remind me what that stands for.
That's the Tax Equalization Review Commission. Is now a panel of four, I believe. It used to be three for years and years. And essentially, if you the property owner, don't agree with our tax evaluation number, that's your first step in challenging that. Essentially, if you
goes before that board,
correct. As Board of Equalization, we see those every July, and if we say, "Well, we agree with the assessor," you know, it should be this number. You don't like that. You are certainly entitled under statute to go to the Tax Equalization Review Commission and plea to them to adjudicate, which they do, and they either affirm our evaluation or they modify it. They can do either.
Okay. And then you go back after being the Board of Equalization for a little while. You go back to being Board of Commissioners. A quarterly report was issued by Brandon Myers. He's the Region 51 Emergency Management Director. Anything on there of interest?
Well, yeah, I guess Brandon does this obviously four times a year, and sometimes he comes in intermittently with updates on if we've got something imminent going on. Essentially, yesterday's report involved kind of recapping all the meetings that they attend and all the various funding programs that they file for. And as you might imagine, it's quite elaborate the way they have to go after a lot of federal and state funding to help with fire mitigation and all these good things. So that's what Brandon provided with us. He did touch upon the fact that you know, we'd had some issues with Union Pacific on the cooperation, if you will, with Bailey Yards when they had a hazmat issue. And, you know, we didn't feel like as a board that the county and the city were getting, you know, proper cooperation. And Brandon did touch on that and believes that the tone is much more positive in that regard with the people that he deals with in Bailey Yard. So he was very pleased with that. So we were obviously pleased to hear that. So that was one of the things he did mention briefly. But there wasn't a lot of any things. You know, they're looking at budget challenges and kind of keeping a wary eye on where funding might come for a lot of these programs where we get reimbursed for emergency response on these various fire disasters and things. So, but Brandon keeps on top of that stuff. He's an amazing guy. He does a great job. So.
Does that do they receive any federal funds, and are they worried about?
It depends on the program, Cory. There's so many different things that you know. Some programs they don't pursue, and others they do. Brandon's very proactive as far as if he sees a funding source, he'll reach out and try to capture some of those funds. So he gets occasionally he'll get a grant federal wise. A lot of our funding reimbursements for fire, for example, mutual aid comes from the state. Okay. And so Brandon's very very involved in getting those funding sources to supply monies to reimburse our local departments.
Okay. And then you discussed and considered an offer of a settlement in a case that is before the Nebraska Equal Opportunity Commission?
That's fairly typical. Anytime you get an EEOC complaint, or the plaintiff typically is a former employee, or sometimes can be a current employee. It's not exclusive to someone that's no longer with us, but in this case it is. The board simply, when those were filed, we hand those off to legal counsel, and that's typical. Under, you know, the legal ramifications are, once we give, basically hand that to legal counsel, they are obligated to come back with any counteroffer and put it before us, because we have the last say. And so it's a formality, if you will. Mm-hmm. I think he probably knew that we weren't going to accept that offer, but nevertheless, he's compelled to ask us. So that's what he did. And so it'll move on through the process, and we'll it'll play itself out.
How long do those, when you have a case like that, how long does it take usually for that to be resolved?
I don't know that you can put a usual, quote-unquote, timeline on those. Some are,
can vary greatly.
Very greatly. When I was in the private sector and I managed people for 30 years, unfortunately, I had to go through a few of those with employees and former employees, and I had one particular one that was over 2.5 years in from front to back before that was finished out. And some are done in 90 days. Some are, some are settled out of the purview of EEOC, and and then the plaintiff drops the complaint and so forth. So you never know where these go. It's there's no really average time. it's all over the place. I don't anticipate that one dragging on a great deal longer, though.
Okay. And then at the end, you had your committee reports. Anything out of there you'd like to mention?
Well, not a lot. We didn't. We really didn't have anybody with a lot of updates. We talked about a little bit about the need to for Commissioner Hughley and I to convene with our council and the FOP representation, but we didn't really discuss that in the actual committee reports, so to speak. But there wasn't a lot there yesterday, Corey.
Okay. I'm going to let you, Kent, introduce these people that you brought in studio today. And the subject is the Lincoln, Logan, McPherson County's Extension Office. You had an update from the staff last evening.
And before I do that, I want to interject. We had Brandon Myers there with the students within the county and within the Emergency Management Group. Or I think it's Dundee and I believe Chase, I'll get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Apologize for that. But our board assistant, I'm sure, has put those youngsters' names on our website. If not, I'll reinforce the fact that she did. And I apologize, I don't have them in front
the
of me.
The poster winners?
For our poster winners for the Emergency Management Severe Weather Awareness Poster Contest. And it's a big thing. We love to have them come in every year. And it's a big thing for the children, you know, the students. And they do wonderful work. And I know that we've got lots of pictures. And I know Tammy is very good about making sure we post those and share those on our social media site.
So what were these, like weather events that they were?
Well, each year they ask the students throughout our emergency management district to construct posters relevant to severe weather and their take on it. And some will put things about awareness on tornadoes and where you should not be and where you should be, and others will talk about severe thunderstorms.
So it's kind of like they're writing, you know, what they've heard about what to do in case of severe weather.
Yeah, the poster will typically show. We had one yesterday. Well, not just one, but showed a funnel cloud and when clouds are around, you know, be aware and things. And they use the the pastel pencil coloring and drawing, and they do some fantastic work.
Yeah.
So anyway. I apologize. I don't have the specific students here in front of me this morning. I didn't write those down like I should have, but Tammy will have those on our website, so folks can get on there and see those.
Emergency management website, or is that with
the Lincoln County website? And then
okay.
within that, we have social media on Facebook and things.
Okay.
So Tammy will be all over that. She took copious amounts of pictures yesterday with the students. And
okay.
Their pictures.
Maybe we get a release on that, and then we'd be happy to post it
on our
website, too.
I'll be on the phone with her as soon as we go off the air.
Yeah, have her send me a release
on
that.
I will do that.
And we'll be happy to post it and publicize it.
Absolutely.
Certainly worthy.
Because they do really good work there. So.
Okay. Go ahead and introduce these fine folks that you brought with you today.
Sure. We've got David Lott and Lori. Lori, you didn't tell me your last name.
Beck.
Okay, so David and Lori, let's see, we had one of your students, Nancy, came to the meeting yesterday, Corey, it was kind of a segue off of our update from the extension offices, what's going on in their world, and we get those occasionally as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when they change personnel, they'll come in and introduce themselves, and because they are an extension of the county government, we'd love to hear from those folks and what they're doing.
Sure.
So yesterday, David and Lori basically made us aware of a horticultural program that they introduced during COVID with their students, and the program involves so many things, so many facets of horticulture, marketing, agronomy, business planning, customer relations, all that stuff. So there's a lot to hear. And they have a greenhouse of their own, Corey, and they do a marketing thing every year. This year, 5th and 6th of May, coming up really quick. So the board was so impressed with the program that we wanted to usurp our time here and hand off the remaining time to these folks. So, David, could you kick off and run with this, please, and explain this to Corey?
You bet. And I appreciate the time for letting us talk about our program. So
mm-hmm.
I teach gardening life skills to our transition students with North Platte Public Schools and ESU 16. These are students that are learning a number of technical skills that they can use the rest of their lives when they graduate out at the age of 21. And so I have worked with Lori Vack since 2020 with the start of COVID about some activities our students can be doing that they could do during the COVID season in the greenhouse at the West Central Research and Extension Center. So we started growing bedding plants. And this activity learned how to, you know, choose the crops, schedule the timing for the seeding, to watering, transplanting, fertilizing, weeding, scouting for insects, packaging everything up to be ready for a giant plant sale in May. And so they learned all these aspects, and they aligned to all the Nebraska Department of Education transition student skills and indicators that these students will need to meet as part of the program. So we're integrating an extension program and partnering with education to have a full-bodied immersion experience for these students. And so they got some really great life skills. And I'm going to pass it off to Lori to explain a little bit more on her side with ESU.
My name is Lori Vack. I work for ESU 16, and I am a life skills special ed teacher. So we have students from around North Platte that come to my program here. And ALS is the name, but it's Opportunity with Life Skills. So North Platte Public School has their own, which is the house kids. And so our students are 18 to 21 that attend.
Oh, okay.
So these students here that are with us are from Sutherland, Brady. We have Tryon that all come down to our program. And we're based out of Mid Plains. We have a dorm room out there.
My
program is. So it started with me just worrying about the kids eating healthy, because at the time during COVID, there wasn't a whole shortage of vegetables. And so I just wanted them to learn how that they can grow their own vegetables and do that. So to evolve around them having a plant sale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard work. The kids do a really good job and working. CJ here has actually worked last year. He got a job at COSAD at Great Escapes.
Okay.
And that's our goal, is for them to ultimately get a job and be part of society when they graduate at 21.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We have the students talk about what they've learned, what they've gotten out of this program.
We learn how to transplant planting
have a plan?
Mixing soil.
Okay.
And learning how to water the plants correctly.
Okay.
And we work in a group.
Okay. Work together as a group?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good deal. Someone else want to share your experience?
We talked about sweet peppers, hot peppers, tomatoes, and curly kale.
Okay. You got a favorite among those? Some people aren't into those things, but if you can produce them, you know, there's going to be a demand for them.
The students do a great job based off the sales from previous years on which crops were popular and what people are looking for. So then they choose what to grow the next year based off of customer choice and customer preference. They also go out and they do comparison shopping and compare the prices of what is available in town, and so they learn their own marketing and pricing strategies. They built an entire website where people can look at the plants that they have available to order online, as well as making their own flyers to market that. So, and we'd love people to come out to the West Central Research and Extension Center as well to be engaged with the university. So it's a really great opportunity for us at the Extension Office and the university to connect with education and help these students gain these skills.
So are all these things that they're growing, are they in the greenhouse, or is the greenhouse a separate from what they're doing?
They are all, all the crops that they grow are in the greenhouse.
They are in the greenhouse, okay.
And there's a variety of herbs, vegetables, and flowering plants for sale. So a lot of things that people already like. It's based off of people's interest. And also, we've discovered a number of things that we thought were kind of cool to grow. So the students have learned to grow a lot of different types of crops with different sizes of seeds and to be able to transplant, and a lot of critical skills that a lot of people don't quite understand. So they've got a leg up for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, a lot of good things that they can keep going for, you know, their whole lives, for sure. So tell us about this plant sale. It's next Monday and Tuesday, I see, the 5th and the 6th of May. What are we going to be offering at this plant sale next week?
Lots of peppers.
Lots of peppers? Anything else?
We have lots of peppers.
Okay. Lots of peppers. If you like peppers, get out there.
We have tomatoes.
Tomatoes. A lot of people love tomatoes. I know that.
Curly kale, hot peppers, sweet peppers.
Okay.
Lots of culinary herbs.
Herbs,
so if you like the culinary herbs like the thyme, tarragon, oregano, dill, mint, we have a wide variety of those, so you can grow them for cooking, or you can also use them to attract the pollinators such as our butterflies and our beneficial bees. But we also have lots of neat flowering plants that will also be available, such as geraniums and petunias. Zinnias are extremely popular, so we have lots of zinnias, marigolds. So all of these are going to be things that you can grow fairly easy, and they're also going to be good for the environment with our good insects that help take care of the bad insects that feed on the vegetables. So they're also learning sustainability.
Marigolds are good for deflecting bad bugs, correct?
Yes.
See, I didn't really know that. My wife told me that. So. The only reason I knew that.
The oil scent, that strong oil.
Yeah, so those come hand in hand with your gardening.
Repel a lot of the bad insects. So the students are learning how to do this in an integrated way, where we integrate the vegetables and the herbs together and flowers. Just like grandma and great-grandma used to do decades ago, they're learning those skills, how to bring that back. So it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, sounds like great. So this is going to be at the greenhouse next Monday and Tuesday?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, and what are the times on that if they want to come on out?
May 5th and 6th, so from 4 to 7 on May 6th, and then 9 to 3 on the 7th.
Actually, 5th and 6th is
fifth
what
and
you
sixth.
Have.
5th and 6th, I apologize.
Monday the 5th and 4 to 7, and then Tuesday the 6th from 10 to 1:30 is what it says here.
I got my dates, my times mixed up there, so we have opportunities. Okay. So if you work, then you can come in on the 1st of the evening and purchase. So, okay. And the students will be out there both days.
They'll is the... greenhouse right by the extension
the
office?
The greenhouse is straight south of the extension
straight
office
south. Okay.
On the road into the research farm. So there will be signs that you can follow all your way into our greenhouse. So to get to the extension office, you'll see the signs, and I'll point the arrow where to go.
And the extension office is 348 West State Farm Road.
Mm-hmm. It is across the road from the new Farm Credit Services, and the extension office has a very large 4-H clover on the side of the building, so you can't miss it.
Pretty hard to miss, for sure. Anything else information you wanted to get out here?
She was
gonna
say. We learn how to recycle pots, so we use them from what we have planted before.
Okay. Where do you take them, then? How do you recycle those?
We keep them and we wash them every year.
Get them all washed up, and then you take them someplace, or no?
We plant with them.
You just reuse them every year, basically. Clean
but we
them
use
up.
Sour cream containers, and
yogurt,
the big containers.
Oh, so really? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And this year we tried something new. We have 5-gallon buckets that they painted and learned that they could recycle those and use those as pots. And so they painted and designed their own 5-gallon buckets, and then they have cucumbers with trellises on them for their, like, quick snack gimlets, their patio cucumbers, and then we put morning glories in the other ones. So they're learning how to recycle, save money, and reuse.
We're all for that, for sure. We are. Well, Kent, thanks for coming in and bringing these folks in. Sounds like it's a great this OWLS program is a great thing.
It is, and it's an extension of the extension program here that the county's obviously involved with our extension educators, and so it's an aspect that most people don't know exists. Everybody knows about 4-H because we're all knee deep in ag,
right?
You know, but this is a kind of a side project that has such great worth, and we just wanted to make everybody aware. So thank you for indulging.